Well, thank you for all of you for coming here. And I wanted to begin by saying what I'm going to present today is very much a work in progress. So as Peggy said, we're just beginning to kind of to scratch the surface of what does it mean to begin to build good public health quality measures. As Dr. Koh said, ultimately for the healthcare quality, the six aims of healthcare quality, there have been a large number of measures that have been built that both are general measures, systemic measures that reflect quality of healthcare systems, and also specific measures reflecting quality of individual health programs. And ultimately, we want to get to the same place here as well. So what we're beginning to do, what I'm going to talk about today, is our attempt to come up with an approach, with a method, to begin to think about, at least at the system level, how do we begin to conceptualize and how do we begin to define measures and indicators for the nine aims of public health quality? Let me begin, as Cheryl ended, with saying I have no financial relationship to disclose. I'm going to go very quickly through these slides. Dr. Koh has already covered them, so we know what public health quality is, and these are the nine aims. So I want to step right into the need for measurement. Again, I'm not going to belabor this point. Dr. Koh said, talked very eloquently about the need to measure. Obviously, the idea is, Lord Kelvin said almost 200 years ago, if you cannot measure, you cannot improve. So really, this is the core of what we want to be able to do. We want to be able to get good measures so that we can assess and evaluate the quality of our public health programs and systems and use it for improvement. And the key, of course, behind measures is being able to define good, robust, science-based indicators that are that we can test out in the field, we can validate, and we can use as a set of standards around which to assess quality. So that's easier said than done. When we begin to think about, it's great to think about indicators, but when we begin to think about what does it actually mean in practice, we're faced with a variety of challenges. Especially when we begin to look at the range of the aims of public health quality. There are a lot of those aims are quite abstract. For example, population-centered or transparent. So before we begin to come up with a set of concrete measures, we need to try and get our heads around, what does this actually mean? The second challenge is a challenge related to perspectives. As Dr. Koh said, when we think about quality, where does quality begin? Quality always begins at the customer. Quality begins at the patient. Quality begins at the community. So our views of quality, sitting here as practitioners or academics or experts, might be very different from what we think the community's view of quality is going to be. So really beginning to come to grips with what does it mean? Whose perspective are we thinking about? Are we really providing quality from the community's perspective? Is something that is important to consider as we begin to think about our indicators. The third challenge that we have is related to level. So as the definition of public health quality is around building systems, but we do, so our objective is to build good systems, but we deliver public health through programs. And so as we begin to think about this relationship between systems and programs, we need to be thinking about building indicators at both levels. And so how do we begin to kind of to address the challenge of being able to balance systems and programs? And obviously then the last item is, okay, so when we begin to think about the whole range of public health topics, when we think about obesity, we think about diabetes, we think about smoking cessation, we think about mental health, how do we take this framework of indicators and begin to create these set of indicators that can be standards that can be applied across a whole range of programs? And so these are the challenges that face us as we begin to think about developing a consistent set of indicators. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is really not kind of a completed body of work. I hope to come back a year from now and talk about a little more progress that we have made, but talk about the way that we're thinking about how to address this challenge, how to address this problem. And so what we have begun to think about is to use an approach for defining indicators that has been used successfully in other branches of industry. I have worked in the field of quality for about 25 years now across a wide variety of industries. I'm a latecomer into public health quality, but I've worked in quality in financial services, I've worked in quality in transportation systems, and a whole variety of different areas. And some of the methods that we've used there are some of the things that we're trying to bring into the world of public health quality. And so we've been thinking about using these, what we call the tree approach. It's an indicator tree. It's a systematic way of moving from the abstract notion of aims to actually concrete indicators. And as used in different industries, the root of the tree is the aim. So we begin always with the aim, and then we begin to build a variety of branches. And as we think through the different branches, the branches define the aim in increasingly measurable terms till ultimately we come to the indicators. And obviously there can be multiple indicators for each aim, and that's why we think about it as a notion of the tree. So what does the tree look like? Well, so the branches of the tree, the way that and again, I just want to kind of present these as our starting ideas. These are not things that we've nailed down in any concrete terms, but this is kind of how our thinking is being guided right now. So we begin with the aims, and then as we go from abstract to concrete, we begin for each of these aims to think about attributes, definitions, types of measures, and indicators. The first three of these, the attributes, the definitions, and the types of measures, are kind of more systemic. They're more generic definitions of indicators. And then when we actually come down to the indicator, we can take this system, this framework, and apply it to particular public health topics. So what does that mean when we begin to think about these elements of the tree? Well, so the aim, as Dr. Koh and Peggy have already talked about, is the quality objective that we want to achieve. So when we begin to think about the attributes then, the attributes take that abstract notion of the aim and bring it to the next level of detail. So what are the dimensions? What are the different dimensions and attributes by which we can describe the aim? So if we think about equitable, which is one of the aims, the attributes begin to answer the question of what are the different dimensions of equitable? What does that mean? The definition then takes it down to the next level of detail that says, okay, if we identify these attributes, if we identify these dimensions, how do we define these attributes? The measure type then generally begins to talk in a more generic way around, so once we understand the definition of these attributes, what kinds of measures do we need to have to be able to quantify, to measure these attributes? And then ultimately, of course, the indicators are, now that we know what a specific program or policy or system is, what are the indicators to measure the quality of the system? So the idea is that this is not the be-all and end-all of indicator definition. Now, many of you who work in public health quality programs already have well-established measures of public health quality. And so the intent is not to take what you're already doing and replace it with a whole new infrastructure. The idea is that if you already have measures that work, that's great. Go ahead and use those measures. But in places where you don't have measures, rather than kind of jumping in and coming up with a bunch of measures, we think that being able to use these kinds of techniques to think systematically about how do you define indicators begins to make the process of indicator definitions more systematic, more sustainable, and more usable. So let me take you through an example of how we would use this indicator tree for a particular program. And again, this is not the last indicator associated with this program. This is just a way of demonstrating how this particular technique works. And so I took as an example the 10,000 Steps program that most of you are probably familiar with. It is a program that has been adopted around the world to encourage community members to walk 10,000 steps each day. And the particular application of this program that I took was one that's been quite successfully applied in the Flanders in Belgium. And the program elements associated with 10,000 Steps in Belgium are they sold or loaned pedometers. They had this large website that was updated every day around progress and individual stories and so on. They went to street corners and distributed flyers. They had a variety of ways of contacting communities. They used media. They used billboards. So this is really kind of a well-integrated community-based program for encouraging the community to walk 10,000 steps each day. And the question becomes, okay, so how do we measure that this program is equitable? It's not that they tried to do that, but in the general scheme of advancing public health quality, these are the kinds of things we want to be thinking about. So the question is, if we took this indicator tree method and we applied the method to the aim of demonstrating this program is equitable, how do we come up with indicators? And so what I've got are two slides that kind of break the tree up into two parts. So this is the first part of the tree. It starts with the aim, and then it goes to the attributes and goes to the definitions. And so when we begin to think about the attributes, as I said earlier, the attributes are the different dimensions by which we define the aims. So as we begin to think about how do we define equitable, well, the kinds of things we can think about when we think about equitable are, it has to be available, it has to be accessible, it has to be affordable, it has to be universal, it has to be usable. These are just words, but as you begin to think about these are words that are a little bit less abstract than just equitable. They begin to take equitable and unpack them down to the next level of detail. We can then move from the attributes to thinking about what do we mean by this? What do these attributes mean? What are the specific definitions that are associated with the attributes? And so, for example, when we think about available, the definition, one definition would be the program is available to everyone without exceptions. You think about accessible, you want to be able, the program has to be accessed by everyone, irrespective of ability, irrespective of language, irrespective of technology, and so on. So as we begin to, as we begin to kind of walk down this tree approach, we're taking something which is quite abstract, like equitable, and beginning to kind of break it down into its components. And as you can begin to see, so by the time you've begun to reach the column of definitions, we're now in a place where we can take these definitions and try and kind of translate them into measures. And so that's kind of what we've done in this slide. So what you see on the first column is basically the same thing that was there in the last column of the previous slide. So we've started the definitions. And as we begin to think about these definitions, we can begin to think about, okay, so what are the kinds of measures we want to be thinking about? And that's what goes in the measure type column. So it's not a specific metric, it's not a specific indicator, but it is, okay, so what are the different categories of measures that we want to be thinking about if we want to be able to measure equitable that is defined in this way? So if you wanted to think about program is available to everyone, certainly one of the things you want to be looking at is reach. What percentage of the population is affected by or is covered by the program? If you want to be thinking about accessibility, so the program can be accessed by everyone, you want to be thinking about, in general, you want to be thinking about technology requirements to access information. Each of the things that are in the measure type column are at this point independent of program. So I can take these and say, it doesn't really matter if it's a 10,000 steps program, it doesn't matter if it's an obesity program, it doesn't matter if it's a smoking cessation program. As long as, in general, I know that I need my program to be equitable, I can agree upon a set of standards, I can agree upon a set of definitions, I can agree upon a certain category of measures that will define the quality for that program. Once I have done that, then I can go to my specific program and say, in this particular context, in this particular application, in this particular community, what are the indicators that apply? And so the idea is we're beginning to kind of explore how this method works. What we're beginning to think about is if we start with these 9 aims, and we're program independent, but across these 9 aims, we begin to agree upon at least kind of what do these different aims mean? What are the definitions associated with them? What are the kinds of metrics? What are the kinds of measures that are appropriate for measuring the quality of these programs to each of these aims? That gives us a common body of material to have a conversation around. If we then agree that this framework is the right framework, then we can let this framework loose on the world across communities and say, okay, go forth and you develop your own indicators. Then we can come back and take a look at these indicators and say, are there certain common indicators, program by program, that we can then use that will begin to define what the indicators should be? And so what we begin to do, I have just a minute, so we'll talk about where we are and where we're going next. So we have just begun this work. And so what you saw there is just one example, and I've begun to work my way with a couple of other examples. But we want to be able to develop indicator trees for all 9 quality aims. We want to start developing sample indicators as guidelines for a few critical programs that are kind of really important and of interest to the population at large. So, for example, tobacco and alcohol and diet and so on. We want to test the implementation of indicators in some selected pilots to see how do they work in the field. Because, again, it's very different from, great, I have this whole set of indicators, and then I go out and I begin to implement them. I find that it's hard to collect data. The data is not available. There are many different ways of defining them. So there's still kind of a gap from theory to practice. So we want to think about bridging that gap. And finally, once we've kind of begun to get a sense of is the method work? Do the indicators work? Do they give us the kinds of data around public health quality that we want? We want to then begin to kind of send them out to the public health world as a whole and begin to have this conversation around what should be the right and appropriate set of indicators to measure public health quality. Thank you very much.